opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to the show. You are listening to Heroes of the North State, and I'm Michelle Slade. Tonight's guests are an amazing lineup. We are here to talk about ACEs, and you may have heard the term ACEs and wondered what is it, or maybe you're well-adversed and you have information that you could share with others. But tonight we're going to talk about ACEs Awareness, Resiliency, and Hope Month. And ACEs is Adverse Childhood Experiences, and I have three amazing women here live with me in the studio to talk about what ACEs is and how they got involved, how it's affecting our community and those around us, and so you're not going to want to miss this episode. If you know someone who wants more information about ACEs, now's the time to give them a call and tell them to tune in right here on 96.5 FM, KCNR, 1460 AM. So in the studio live with me tonight is Susan Wilson. She's the Executive Director of Youth Options Shasta. Welcome, Susan.
It's nice to be here.
And then we also have Wendy Dickens. She is the Executive Director of First Five Shasta. Welcome.
Good evening. Welcome. Thank you very much for having us.
And then we also have Kelly Rizzi. Now, Kelly is the Director of District and School Support with Shasta County Office of Education. Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So for those of you who are new to the show, let me give you just a brief background. We, several years ago during the car fire, decided to create a show called Heroes of the North State because there are just so many people in our community who rise above to help others just simply because it's the right thing to do. And tonight we have some local heroes, unsung heroes, that we want to shine the light on because they rise above every day in their professional life, in their personal life, and as community members and neighbors. And as unsung heroes go, they don't like to toot their own horns, so we invite them on the show to get to know them, their causes, and how we can create a better community for all of us. So today, let's just dive right in. I'm going to start with Susan. Susan, give us a little bit of a background of what ACEs is, and then we will just dive into that as the show goes, and then also a little bit of background about who you are and what you do in our community.
Well, I'll start with ACEs.
Okay.
Since that's our topic today. ACEs is Adverse Childhood Experiences was a study that was done by Kaiser Permanente. It was done in the 1990s. It became really public probably in the early 2000s. And what they found was and ended up with was 10 questions which give you your ACE score. So there's a series of questions that turned out to be significant when they were looking at the health of their clients. So we have to remember that ACEs, it's not about child maltreatment. It's not really, didn't start about adversity. It started about how do you get good health in people.
Okay.
Yes. And I think that's a really important piece for your audience to remember. And I first ran across Vince Folletti, who was one of the major individuals who did the study, excuse me, at Kaiser. I first ran across him in 2002 when I was involved with First Five Siskiyou. So that was in one of my previous lives. And it just took a little while for ACEs to get going. In Shasta County now, ACEs is one of the major things on the strategic plan for Shasta County is to address ACEs. And I just finished working with the folks at Mercy Hospital who are doing a community-wide assessment. They're also looking at ACEs because one of the issues that we have locally is we have very high ACE scores.
Right, right. And so when we'll come back to, or do you want to elaborate now on what makes up an ACE score? Like, we can talk about the 10 different ones as we go along, but basically these are experiences that you've had when you were young.
Before the age of 18.
Okay.
So we ask these questions of adults.
Right.
Before the age of 18, did any of these things happen to you? Now, they're in the forms of questions. I'll just give you a quick overview. So we have physical and emotional neglect.
Okay.
Social. Emotional neglect. We have physical, social, emotional, and sexual abuse.
Right.
And then we have the five, and I might need help from my friends here, we have the five what we call household dysfunctions.
Okay.
So that would be a family that has substance use in it in some way, mental illness in some way. Maybe there's a divorce, an incarcerated parent or family member, and finally, intimate partner violence, which we also call domestic violence in this world.
And so my understanding is then these scores are then tallied up and equivalent to maybe how what you will your effects medically will be down the road or could be.
Right. And I think that we'll get into that as we talk.
Okay.
But when you have a higher score, what we do know is the population, not the person, but the population with the higher scores lives on average 10 years less than the average lifespan.
So that's a good place to kind of stop for a second on that and just kind of think about that as a community, how that affects us overall.
Right.
So then, Susan, tell me a little bit about your background.
So I have done a lot of things in my life. I came to ACEs, as I said, early in the 2000s, and it has really been something that has grabbed me, and I have never dropped that ball since I started. What I want to do in life is build strong families.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's what I want to do. So I've done a lot of things. I helped with Help Me Grow with Wendy.
Yes, you have.
I brought with Kelly. We brought Focus, which is a program where we send first responders and first responders let schools know that there's been a response at this kid's house and handle this child with care. They don't tell them what happened or anything. Okay. Handle this child with care to address adversity. But Kelly and I, we talked them into it, don't you think, Kelly?
So I think so, yeah.
So,
Absolutely.
I mean, that was a wonderful thing. I basically brought 211. You call 211 and you get a live person who answers your question, you know, and gets you help. And I brought that. So I all those things, though, go around adverse childhood experiences.
Yeah.
And how do you change the picture for a family? So that's my life.
That's
a very short part of her life. I'm just saying. I'm sorry. We don't have enough time for all the wonderful things that Susan has done.
What about the 40 developmental assets?
I know, 40 developmental assets.
The 40 developmental assets.
Yeah, come on now. Yeah. And the 5 protective factors trainings you do. Oh, come on, Susan.
Right. Culture of poverty.
Yeah, culture of poverty.
How do we respect people and learn to work with people who are just a little different than we are.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. And that goes right back to the heart of the show, which is why you're here, Susan. Good
Thank
people.
You.
Just rising above to make a difference in the lives of others.
Yeah.
So, well, we could spend an entire show, and we'll have you back and do that. let's move on to Wendy. Wendy, so give us a little background. Tell us again who you are and how you're involved in ACEs and just a little bit about you.
Sure. So I probably first got involved with ACEs working in child welfare. So I worked for child welfare here in Shasta County for 16 years. And really, you know, you begin to see some of the things that are happening in a family and the environment in which the family is living within, and you have words around those things, but not the same language. There wasn't great language, right? Mm-hmm. So when we began to learn about the study that was from Dr. Floody and Dr. Anda at Kaiser Permanente, we really were able to begin to have a common language around some of these pieces and parts and bring, as social workers, more information forward to families so that they could better understand maybe some of the dynamics that were happening and some of the things that were going on. So it's really a passion of mine as I moved into First Five, which is a prevention arena, to help make sure that families were aware that they needed to have some things put in place, those five protective factors that we'll probably get into a little bit later on, building that for families early in a family's life when the children are really young, because the, you know, 0 to 5 is when the very important brain development is happening. Not that we don't continue to learn and develop our brains in further life, but the foundation of our brain development happens in those first 5 years. And if we are not supporting families during that time, then we've lost opportunity for those those young kids. Yeah. And they are going to be our future, right? They're going to be the workforce of tomorrow. It's really important to me. So I've done a lot of work with, you know, making sure that we're putting information out there with Susan and with Kelly in regards to even, you know, becoming master trainers of this and being able to teach others how to train around or give presentations around, you know, what is adverse childhood experiences and trauma, right?
To because be able to trauma. Recognize it.
Right, exactly. Because trauma is added into that, right? That we're described that are very common amongst people. That's the other piece that's really important for people to understand. This isn't a you and them and over there.
It's a population.
The other, it's a population. It's, it's over every socioeconomic status. It's over everybody. You are probably sitting next to someone with ACEs. You are probably talking to someone with ACEs if you don't yourself have them. So, you know, it's really important that we remind people of that and that they understand that this is widespread and that we have to do something as a community to begin to address that. So making sure people are aware is a really important piece of that information.
Absolutely. Well, I hear our music cueing. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Kelly, learn a little bit more about her, and then we're going to dive right into ACEs and how we can get the word out into our community. We'll be right back.
Here's a little jingle from the Thule Kids.
You can play it, you can pause it, you can skip it, you can stop it with a hop. When the hopper takes over your commercial, I'll hop with the hop. Where the apps are the coolest and the music is the smoothest with the hop. All the cats and chicks can get their kids with the hop. Let's go!
Thank you for calling B&T Satellite at 241-3474. That's 241-DISH. Hi, this is Doug Thule. Are you missing Newsmax? Call me because I make TV easy and I can get it back for you. My phone number is 241-3474. In case you didn't hear that, that's 530-241-3474. Or visit us at 1007 Dana Drive, Redding, California. Check us out on the internet at btsatellite.com. Shasta County's only DISH Premier retailer. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim for our new show, Ask Elle, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Every Tuesday night at 6 p.m., we'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here Tuesday nights at 6 p.m.
Brought to you by New Life Discovery Project.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency, when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
Welcome Welcome back to the show. You are listening to Heroes of the North State right here on KCNR Radio. I'm Michelle Slade with My Umbrella Marketing, and tonight we have a well-put-together panel of experts, volunteers, and local heroes who are making the lives of making a difference in the lives of those in our community. And you've on the last break, we were able to talk with Susan Wilson, the Executive Director of Youth Options Shasta, and Wendy Dickens, the Executive Director of First Five Shasta. Now we're going to turn our attention over to Kelly Rizzi, the Director of District and School Support from Shasta County Office of Education. Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you.
So we're going to start. So we've heard a little bit about ACES and its foundation and a little bit of background from Wendy and Susan in regards to their involvement. So how do you want to start? Tell me a little bit about your role in the community and your partnership as an ACES partner.
Sure. So this is my 30th year as an educator in Shasta County. This is my 8th year as a director with Shasta County Office of Ed. And interestingly enough, they originally 8 years ago invited me to be a part of their team because we had such an issue with literacy. Mm. You know, we were sending half our students on to the next grade level, not reading at grade level. So I joined their team, and within the first year realized, oh, this isn't a pedagogy issue in the classroom. This is a trauma issue in Shasta County. And because our ACES scores have been so high, it's really difficult to teach young children in the classroom when they are in their survival brain.
Yeah, exactly.
Through this journey, we have figured out how to get them into the upper region of their brain where all learning occurs. So it's been a beautiful journey. I've partnered with Susan, with Wendy all these years. And, you know, my lens really is through an educational lens. We are working, you know, it started in the classroom, but then when adults heard about it, they said, oh, man, we need to get this out to the community. We need to help people understand what happens when you have a high ACES score, what happens when you have experienced childhood trauma. And really the work that, you know, my partners here tonight do, our goal is to mitigate. First of all, to prevent ACEs, to mitigate them while they're happening, and then how do we heal them? And how do we link arms with our community as we move forward to do this work?
Right. That's got to be probably one of the most difficult things to do, because I imagine once you have an ACE score, you might still be in that environment that's continually creating
Absolutely.
That. So how do you heal something that's continual?
Right, and that...
And I was just going to say, and the other piece to think about is you pass it on to your children.
Yeah,
and I'm saying that because that is Kelly's expertise.
Right.
You know? And I really want her to talk about that.
When we know better, we do better. And the brain is a pattern seeker. So when we educate people and we explain to them, you know, I was just in a classroom yesterday teaching a group of students a mini lesson on brain science, because our students are living with these environments. And what we can do when we teach them about their brain and their body and we help them understand how to calm their stress response, we then effectively change the way their brain is hardwiring, as Wendy talked about, in those first 5 years. Every year is important, right? But if we can help them calm their brain and stop that massive flood of cortisol and adrenaline, which those stress hormones effectively change the way the brain hardwires. The brain develops in a use-dependent way. So if I'm a young person in a home where I'm exposed to toxic stress repeatedly, my brain, like the largest part of my brain that's going to develop is my fight-flight-freeze, which is my amygdala.
Okay.
Unfortunately, what happens is then the frontal lobe doesn't develop the way that it should or could because of the environment and the experiences that it's, you know, enduring. Mm-hmm. So it's all about education. We educate kids. We're working with parents to educate them. You know, if you don't know, then you can't do anything about it.
And then I would think that maybe some in the community would think that we're all equally level in our learning and our ability and our minds, and we know we're not. But I think it's easy at a first glance to pass a judgment on a situation or a person based on you look fine.
You know, right.
Versus what your adverse childhood experiences may have been, and how you're able to receive and retain information or act on it.
Exactly. Well, and I would take it even a step back. You know, I have friends that have an ACES score of 1, yet their ancestors had horrific experiences. And by virtue of sharing the same DNA, these people who haven't had a lot of lived trauma, they possess these adaptations and these deep-held beliefs, which don't make sense to them until they understand the science of it.
Wow.
And then to give themselves grace when they do have those those tendencies or that unconscious bias, and they wonder, where did that thought come from?
Yeah,
where
exactly.
did that reaction come from?
Mm-hmm.
And to understand that one thing that we're doing at Shasta County Office of Ed is we're Judy Flores, our superintendent, is one of my top five heroes of all times. But she listened when our Native community came to her and said, mm-hmm. we have a massive issue of disconnect between our families and our schools. And we have the highest rates, you know, of dropout and the highest suspension rates and the lowest college attending. And she listened. And we collectively, with our four local tribal entities, formed the American Indian Advisory. So we are actively working to heal generational trauma in Shasta County due to the historical events that took place here. So that's just one thing that we get to do is link arms with our local tribes to look at this, to create lessons, to tell what happened, and to provide the community. We have an educational series that we offer to the community, which most people don't know about, and it's so powerful. Susan has attended. There are so many things that we can do as a community. And remember to ask this question. You know, when you're driving past a homeless community or somebody that you might judge by appearance,
yes.
ask the question that, you know, it's not what's wrong with you. It's what happened to you.
What happened to you?
I 100% agree with that.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll bring you the book.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I would love that.
Yeah.
I should have thought to bring it today.
And we've had the ability to have Dr. Perry come and be a part,
yes.
you know, when I was still working for Children's in the Options Program, which is the 0 to 5 drug exposed.
Oh, I remember when we did
that.
Yeah.
He came and he did some work with care providers and educators, mm-hmm. and he has a series that Kelly's been trained in the neurosequential model of education, but he also does it for therapists as mm-hmm. well, the neurosequential model of therapeutics, who we have people trained here for that as well.
Yeah.
And it's really about how that brain mapping is going, and then how do mm-hmm. we then begin to heal from some of the things that have happened in our lives that could have created different pathways and
right.
reactions to those pathways. So, you know, it's really been a breadth of work that's happened in our community to bring awareness, I think, and the wonderful work that's happening in the Native community is important. And for all of us to really realize that epigenetically we have things that we've been carried through. And mm-hmm. we always knew mm-hmm. that, right? Like, we always kind of have had conversations about, like, well, they have a predisposition.
Generational.
Yeah, alcoholism. Or, yes. oh, they have a generational thing mm-hmm. that's happening there, right? Like, we keep seeing them. But then we want to, you know, the science has really proven that that is accurate information through a lot of different
right.
Research.
So help me understand. I'm sure you just said it very clear, but trying to catch up with the language. So if someone has an adverse childhood experience that is not them, but say their ancestors that were behavior based, so that is then inherited.
We can label that
historical trauma.
So
if you say
historical
you're a lot like your great great grandma, it could be something that's in your DNA.
Right.
Based off of experiences they had?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You have epigenetics. It's a whole new science.
Yeah.
It's,
wow.
it's a relatively
right.
new
right.
science.
In comparison to how old we are, yes.
Yeah. it's a new science that's really evolving now,
wow.
you know. And they, for example, different people tell different stories about epigenetics, but the one I tell is at the end of World War II, there were starving children in Holland because
mm-hmm.
all the food had
yeah,
been
absolutely.
Taken. It's so close to Germany, there was no food.
Mm-hmm.
And as they tracked some of those starving children who survived and had children who had children who had children, they're all obese because the genetics were adapted. We don't change the genes per se,
right.
but we change the expression
right.
of the genes.
Hold your fat cells.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hold your fat cells
yeah.
so that
it's
you can survive because you'll
right.
die
yep.
otherwise.
Yep.
Yes.
You know, and
wow.
and to me that's an example, but there are many others. I mean, many now.
You know, I think of, I often tell that one, or I will often often reference the research that was done from the Holocaust survivors and mm-hmm. their offspring and their offspring's offspring, right? Because mm-hmm. really you see levels of anxiety for some of the children
Absolutely.
Who are three generations down that you're like, why are you having this kind of anxiety? There's nothing been in your life that has been mm-hmm. that type of trauma. But it really is about that ability to adapt to your environment. We're meant to adapt to our environments
right.
In a very, you know, and it's very important for survival. So I think, you know, when you think about why you would be doing that, it makes sense, right? Like you should hang on to any piece of food mm-hmm. that you eat because we never know when a famine is going to happen again, right?
That's
and
right.
So it really does get passed down.
Without it being in your brain.
Right.
You
do not You're not thinking
this.
About it at
you
all.
You do not think this.
You don't even know.
So no one
the body. The body thinks this.
The body keeps score. That's another
no,
great book.
The yes. body. That's another wow. one. I'll bring you that one too.
Bring it on, Susan.
You're going to have all the reading you ever needed in your life.
You know, a lot of times when we talk about ACEs, we use this pyramid.
Right.
And I think that it's on our website somewhere.
Say the website. Is it the Shasta, which one?
Shasta Strong Families?
Yes. Strong Families.
Strong Families, yes.
And in the pyramid, if you just think about a pyramid, we have several layers, but the very bottom layer would be this historical trauma, this embodiment of those kinds of things. And then right above that is the social conditions, you know, the
right.
community where you work.
You know what I'm going to do, Susan?
Okay.
I'm sorry. That is so important. I don't want you to have to be cut off in
okay.
the middle of it. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, which helps us bring this show. And when we come back, let's start from the top again
okay.
and go over the pyramids because I think that is so important.
Okay. Really?
So you are listening to Heroes of the North State. I'm Michelle Slade with My Umbrella Marketing, and we'll be right back.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Listeners, celebrate St. Patty's Day with a week's worth of Irish flair. Enjoy an early Irish Benedict, midday Reuben sandwich, or traditional corned beef and cabbage dinner served daily from Thursday through Sunday, March 16th through the 19th. Pair it up with a beer or end with a delicious slice of carrot cake for the perfect treat. Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive in Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
On display now at Turtle Bay Museum, Honor, Courage, Commitment. Marine Corps art, 1975 through 2018, featuring 36 art pieces created by Marine combat artists who documented their own experience in times of war and peace. This traveling museum exhibition is sponsored by the Marine Corps Heritage Foundation from the National Museum of the Marine Corps. Open now through April 30th. Honor, Courage, Commitment. Marine Corps art at Turtle Bay Museum. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hi friends, this is RC with Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar of the humidor, La Gloria Cubana S, San Andres. A new offering from La Gloria Cubana, draped in a dark, oily San Andres wrapper, direct from the volcanic and potassium-rich soil of Mexico, rolled at the El Credito factory in the lush valleys of the Dominican Republic, where their motto is, one factory, 100 artisans, one goal, to craft the most exquisite cigars on the planet. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Starting March 12th, every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, Your Talk Radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, Your Talk Radio.
Attention.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Michelle Slade. You are listening to Heroes of the North State. And if you're just tuning in, we are talking about ACEs, Adverse Childhood Experiences. And we have three guests here live in the studio. We have Susan Wilson, Executive Director of Youth Options Shasta, Wendy Dickens, Executive Director of First Five Shasta, and Kelly Rizzi, Director of District and School Support from Shasta County Office of Education. And when we went into the last commercial break going into it, we had just started talking about the pyramid, and Susan was going over how important that information is, and I stopped her and asked her to just wait. We're going to come back. We're going to start from the top because this is something that is so important to understand, and we're going to let Susan and our other guests talk a little bit more about that. So, Susan, go right ahead.
Right. This is a common conversation for all of us, so I'll get it started, and then everybody will pitch in for
you. Perfect.
And so we had just been talking about the generational embodiment of ACEs and things that have happened through history, you know, the historical trauma. Kelly mentioned her work with the local Indian tribes here.
Right.
And then when you put on top of that, so you have this in your body, you know, this is part of you. When you put on top of that the social conditions, and when we talk about social conditions, we're talking about your neighborhood. What is your neighborhood like? Does your neighborhood have poverty? Does it have racism? Does it have homelessness? Does it have poor educational opportunities? What is your neighborhood like? That affects you. Then there's the individual and the population that have adverse childhood experiences, which is what we're talking about. But when you add those three together and you work your way up the pyramid, when you have things that are not going well, it is not a surprise, and we've known this for years, without too much scientific intervention, disrupted neurodevelopment. And that's what Kelly has been talking about, and that's what I want her to talk about when we kind of get to the top of this.
Okay.
So your brain doesn't – it's hard to say what is a normal brain. I'm not sure there's a normal brain.
I have that
in quotes in my hands. I'm not sure there's a normal brain, but some brains don't work quite the same. And we know that for human beings, it takes 25 years for your brain to really evolve, complete itself, have all the different parts. If you have – problems with your neurodevelopment and problems with the way that you think, then you're likely to have social, emotional, and cognitive impairments. And we know that not everybody's equal. And, you know, some of us have quirks. We call them quirks.
Say someone, you know, they don't act their age, right? Like a lot of that is a part of having that disrupted neurodevelopment.
Okay.
And then, and people with quirks have higher risky behaviors. We know teenagers all have high risk behaviors. The issue that happens from that is if the high risk behaviors continue and are marked, then you're more likely to have disease, disability, social problems. And then when you get to the very top of that is the end of your life. And what we know now is that individuals, we're not talking about individuals themselves, but individuals, that population.
Yes.
When they did the study, many of those individuals had a much shorter lifespan than others. Because, and I started with this, because your health is marked, you know. And if you are not a healthy person, you die earlier. Right. Many of these things live to how healthy are you in the community.
Right.
You know, and
you know, just to expand on that, part of it is that, you know, you have these rushed hormones that are cursing through your body a lot of times when you're in that fight, flight, or freeze mode. And if that's happening to you on a continual and regular basis, whether or not you display behavioral kind of conditioning, you also have those things bombarding your systems. And eventually you can end up with high blood pressure or other types of cardiovascular disease.
I mean, if you smoke, your lungs are giving out, you know.
Which there's a lot more, you know, risky behavior taking, which means that you might start smoking earlier in life and not quit, right? The one statistical information that I thought was of good importance is that not all, you know, you may not become an alcoholic yourself, but you may marry an alcoholic.
You're more likely to marry an alcoholic.
If you have four or more ACEs, the kind of marker is four or more, right? It isn't your destiny, though. I think that's one of the things that we always talk about.
Yeah, your score does not define you. Yeah.
Exactly.
It informs you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And our job, each of us in our own ways, our job is how do we help people deal with what they have?
Exactly.
This is who I am. You know, we can't wave a magic wand and change you. You have to... You have to work on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I was kind of looking at Kelly, you know, because she does really a lot of work around this neural approach to
When we understand the way the brain wires up, and this is, you know, anyone that knows me, I always have rose-colored glasses. My glasses always half full because I'm very hopeful. There are it doesn't matter how old
I
you
think
are.
We all are. Yeah.
We wouldn't be in this business.
Be here.
We believe things can change.
Absolutely, it's messy work, and that's another thing. You know, I think we're all like hope navigators through our work with Pathways of Hope. We have brought and Wendy Hall's work with Hope. We're very hopeful people, and we know there's a science to it. And I just want to reiterate all this work that we're doing in the community is all based on hard science. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
We can track it right back to the evidence and know. Look, we're talking about 10 questions. You know, if we collectively right now made a list of all the other adverse kinds of things that could have happened, this was just a starting point.
Right.
You know, the study
they
did through Kaiser. It's a very subjective score. It doesn't define you. It informs you. And really, I believe it enabled us to begin the conversation about the direct link behind what happened to you, how your brain developed, and then what your predictability is of later health impairment. And then really about, well, what about resilience? I happen to have a pretty high ACEs score, right? I'm a 6 or a 7, but I had massive resilience as a young person.
Same here.
Taught and brought in her family, in her community, you know.
So there's hope for everyone, and there are so many different things that we can do to heal those insults that have occurred. There are what I love is, you know, you mentioned the book co-authored by Bruce Perry and Oprah Winfrey, What Happened to You. I think it's in Chapter 7. He talks about, look, our ancestors experienced a lot of trauma, and yet they survived. So guess what, you guys? We have within us these incredible resilience.
It's a human trait,
right?
So like, valuable.
I just want to name,
resiliency is built.
It is. To be precise, I just want to name a few because I'm not kidding. I was listening on Audible when I heard that, and I pulled over just to process it. He said, "Look, before we had therapists, which don't get me wrong, I highly recommend active therapy. You know, EMDR." Or brain spotting, or you know, tapping. Or,
so many new therapies.
Right, there are so many active forms of therapy to help reorganize your frontal lobe. Right, I've gone and I've taken part in and tried to experience. Well, what are they? How do they work? But just today, like in your daily life, here are some things he says you can do. Cling to your community. Who's your clan?
Yes.
Where are your people? Go be with people
Build
who are
connection.
Like-minded. And if you don't have that, reach out. Like,
seriously,
intentionally reach out and create that support network.
Yes.
He talks about how powerful that is and how powerful, and there's a ton of science behind this, nature, being in nature. Do you know that if you were to go, if I were to test the alkalinity of your saliva right now, and then I sent you out to the trees and to be out in nature, and you came back 20 minutes later and we retested your saliva, your alkalinity would go way up and your acidity would go way down.
Wow.
When you're too acidic, we develop cancerous cells in our bodies. Nature actively heals us when we're in it.
Yeah.
Yet we were on concrete all day and we're wearing shoes, right?
Right.
But the second thing he talks about is rhythm. Look at what, like, you talk about our indigenous tribes. Yeah. Like, they've been doing these things since time immemorial, right? Like, they are in circles. They're drumming, they're dancing, they're singing. Anything that we do in rhythm, and especially in community, is so healing to mitigate that trauma, to heal that trauma that we've experienced. There are just so
many. So I was just thinking, you know, when you were talking, it reminded me that we are also, some of us are trained in for the Center for Mind Body Medicine techniques, right?
Yes.
And so those are groups that we're in.
Yes.
You know, so Hope Navigators, we're ACEs intervention, you know,
ACEs
master trainers.
Right.
We're also, you know, a part of helping the community see the different techniques you can use to heal yourself, right? Like, it's not, you should never feel like you are pulling yourself up by the bootstraps. You do need your community. You need your people around you. But there are some things.
That's right.
It's a total myth. There are some things that you can do to help yourself as well. There's some, you know, definitely dancing, ways to do some rhythmic work. There's also ways to do it through art. There's also ways to do it through just breathing techniques.
Yes.
There's different ways to make sure that you're healing.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you need to do some of that in solitude, and other times you need to do that as a family as a community and as a whole. And the five protective factors are a part of making sure we get those pieces.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right. And the thing that we have to remember as we work through this is every person is different.
Yeah.
Every person is unique. And there is no way to do this. There are ideas about how to do this, you know. I mean,
no one way. There's
no one way. There are lots of ways.
Lots of ways.
And, you know, that can be a struggle for people, too, is to say, I need help finding my way.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
And so we have a group of five of us, five master trainers. Three of them are sitting right here with you.
Okay.
And we have two more. And our goal is to train everybody about this information so that they can go and with the people that they work with or live with or are in the community with, they can have an awareness, they can have a way, they can develop ways, they can teach other people. You know, I think that's one of the big things that we're after.
Education.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
When we know better, we do better.
For sure.
That's a really good place to end because we're going to come back and talk about how we can do that as a community, what we can do, what resources are out there, how can we help others find a way. We'll be right back.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and hear us online at KCNR1460.com. Don't miss Armstrong and Getty, plus Ben Shapiro, and Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott, featuring special guests talking about local issues on KCNR.
The official meeting of the Business to Business meeting is called to order. Business to Business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win. When our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
Well, I just get mine from Vista.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No. Business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win.
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and price right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
The City of Reading cares about clean, affordable transportation. Reading Electric Utilities' new income-qualified electric vehicle voucher program reduces the purchase or lease price on eligible new or used electric vehicles by $3,000. Fuel prices are on the rise, but RU rates remain low. EV drivers pay the equivalent of about $1.10 per gallon versus the paid price at the pump by gas vehicle drivers. Find out if you qualify at cityofreading.org/rebate and enjoy fuel savings in an EV that fits your lifestyle. Funding is limited, so don't wait. Apply now.
And now, back to our show.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Michelle Slade with My Umbrella Marketing, and you are listening to Heroes of the North State. This is our last segment in the show, and it always, I say this every time, it goes by so quickly. Tonight, you've been listening to the topic on adverse childhood experiences, ACEs, as you may know it. And here in, live in the studio, Susan Wilson, Executive Director of Youth Option Shasta, Wendy Dickens, Executive Director of First Five Shasta, and Kelly Rizzi, Director of District and School Support, Shasta County Office of Education. And Kelly, when we left off, we were talking about ways that we can help and support each other. So I want to kind of pick up where we left off and talk about that. And anyone chime in, because this topic is so important. And everyone has an ACE score. Even if your ACE score is zero, we're finding out there's some family history.
You might have all the symptoms and behaviors of somebody who has lived ACEs by virtue of your ancestors having experienced them. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that from this takeaway, because I've been talking about ACEs for years, I had not heard that portion of it, and that's just making me go, oh, she's a little quirky. No, grandma was quirky.
Exactly.
Anyway, go ahead, Kelly.
The good news is there are so many ways to help heal and mitigate ACEs, trauma, however you want to label it. I want to share just a quick story to really enunciate this. We teach a mini lesson in our schools. It's about the flip lid. Your hand is a mini model of your brain. If you imagine your thumb tucked within your fingers, that represents your amygdala. So we teach kids about the fact that when we have a strong emotion, we flip our lid. We drop to the downstairs ring, which is down in that wrist area, right? Mm-hmm. So we all flip our lid from time to time, and it's normal. It's a part of our, survival mechanism. The problem is when we flip our lid too many times, and when we flip our lid, we have that flood of, cortisol and adrenaline. And so we talk about how do we get our lid back on? And it's a basic mini lesson on how do we get our lid back on. And we go through that, breathing and, anything that mimics the heartbeat and rhythm, anything cross-lateral, right? So we teach kids what to do with their body. So I'm in getting my teeth cleaned, and the dental hygienist finds out what I do, and she says, I've got to tell you this story. Like, we recently moved in with my in-laws, and we're helping out, and I overheard a conversation in the kitchen between my son and my mother-in-law, and it did not go well. And I pulled him into the bedroom as he's coming down the hallway because she was pretty harsh with him. And she said, oh, sweetie, let me help you understand what just happened. He said, Mom, I know what just happened. Grandma flipped her lid. She's like, she did? Oh, yeah, Mom, she flips her lid because, Grandma forgets and he puts things away in the wrong places in the kitchen. And then she goes to find what she needs, and then she has a strong emotion, and she flips her lid. And then, Mom, she goes down to the basement part of her brain. I'm cracking up, right?
She goes to the basement part
of her brain. And, Mom, I just try to help her get her lid back on. Mom's like, you're kidding me. What do? He said, well, sometimes I just tell her a joke to make her laugh. Sometimes I just give her a big hug.
Aww.
You guys, I'm in the dental I'm crying. Here's this 8-year-old boy his teacher taught that mini lesson. He's not taking his grandmother personally. He knows it's not about him. He knows she flipped her lid, and he's going to help her get her lid back on.
Like, how many people have used the phrase flipped lid and didn't realize that was a real thing? Right?
So Dan Siegel teaches. We get that from Dan Siegel. So we teach children about that, and we teach them ways of calming their body. And then we say, what feels best to you? Like Wendy was talking about the Center for Mind-Body Medicine. We trained a whole group of educators over the summer so that they could take those practices into the classroom and teach kids about how to calm their brains and their brain and their body so they can be present, so they can learn. And the other – here's another – I'm going to give you a hack. This is like anyone that's listening to this. This is golden information. Dr. Bruce Perry is what he referred to.
Oh, he's our hero.
Oh my goodness!
I have professional crush on him.
Okay, do you know when he was here, I got to drive him to the airport.
I know. I was so jealous. I was like, Kelly Rizzi gets to drive him. Why can't I?
Thank you, Joy Garcia. She set that up for me. Anyway, he has something called the sequence of engagement. I'm going to give it to you just in brevity, but basically the diagram of the brain I talked about, we have to regulate as adults in order to have access to the next. So you've got your brain stem, you've got your midbrain as you move up. That's your limbic area where everything relational happens. And then you get to your cortex, which is a really big deal because that's where all learning, all memory, higher order level thinking, cause and effect, all that. So what we know is this. If you're a parent and you're listening, you're going to want to know this. If you're a teacher, if you're in any relational...
If you're a therapist.
If you're a therapist, right?
I'm doing some
classes.
If you're in the grocery store, the line is long.
If you're a person in the parking lot.
Here's what you need to know. There is no physiological way to get to that upper region of the brain where all thinking and learning occurs except through the lower region. Mm-hmm. So what is that? What are the implications of that, right? So I'm trying to teach you to do a task. First, I better make sure you're calm. Oh, by the way, first I better make sure I'm calm. I better make sure that I am regulated. If I do a visualization, I do breathing, everyone has their own thing. I make sure I'm calm because we are contagious. We have our brains, and we're human beings. We're very relational, contagious beings. I'm calm, then that implicitly gives you permission to be calm. Yes. But I might also invite you to breathe with me or to do some kind of a rhythmic activity with me to help, you know, get you calm. Now that we're both calm and regulated, ding, we've just been given access to that next level of the brain, the limbic region of the brain where everything relational occurs. Now that you feel safe with me, maybe we've laughed, maybe we've done something that is in common, you feel safe with me, now I have access to that upper brain.
Where you can think, right? You can make decisions, solve problems.
No, this is true. Like, even from the earliest times of infancy, right? Like, if you as a parent are an anxious parent and you're, like, getting more distressed as the baby is crying louder and louder, you yourself become more distressed.
You transfer.
And you transfer. Yep. And then it's a cycle between the two of you, right? And so if you can begin to learn how to bring yourself back into a calmed area of yourself, that is going to help the baby begin to calm, too. Because the baby's never going to calm if you're not calm. If you're crying, they're not going to be calm either. So it really does. I mean, that really is important throughout life. Yeah. And so as you get angry with even your, you know, friends or spouse or, you know, you need to learn how to, like, maybe take a step back. And that's why when we talk about breaks or timeouts, that it's not you're avoiding those conversations. You're going to come back to them, but you need to first get yourself to a place where you're calm and that you can do. You center yourself.
Which is really important with your teenagers. You need to say, time out, time out. Because you know, I mean, you can't just calm yourself in a snap. You know, you have to go back to your bedroom, too. You have to time out. You have to get yourself back together so that, I mean, I do a parent group with kids, and they go, my kid screams at me all the time. And I said, and so how do you manage that? Well, I scream right back at him. This is not going to work, ever.
It's surprising to me, though, that this information that, you know, we learn from, you know, Bruce Perry and then Dr. Siegel's model around, you know, the flip lid piece is not actually well known or well
known.
And so it's really important, and, you know, I've been, you know, really thinking about it a lot. How do we present that to the whole population in a way that makes sure that everyone understands that we have that phrase, they flipped their lid? Right. Well, there's some real
reason. For as long as I can remember, I've heard that phrase.
Yes. You know, so in addition to all the work that Kelly does, you know, I think First Five and you provide a lot of classes for parents.
We do a lot of free education for people to come, and we, you know, want to make sure that people have access to information around how to help with regulation for themselves, how to help the children in their lives, whatever their role is with that child, and how do we as a community come together and begin to build that community we all want to live in, right? I think that's the goal. The goal is to be, all of us feel safe, all of us to live in a community we feel is important, and to get back to that belief that we as a community should rally around one another, that it isn't, you know, you deal with it on your own, and, you know, when you're 18, some magic wand helps you be the adult we want you to be.
No, it doesn't happen like that. Yeah, First Five has great offerings. If you check out their website, Susan, you know, we have upcoming trainings. If you're listening and you want to know more about ACEs and what it means for you, we are available. We're going to, right? Do you want to talk about that, Susan?
Before we leave, I didn't want to talk about that. So we do regular workshops. The five of us do regular fairly major workshops, 4 hours. We feed you so that you'll be happy while you listen.
So this is for anyone in the community.
For anyone in the community. So we do them fairly regularly. The best way to find out what we're doing tomorrow or down the road is to go to Eventbrite. And you can just find us on Eventbrite and look for the ACEs. Just look for ACEs and you'll find those. But we also do other things. We do Strengthening Families, the Five Protective Factors, which we're going to call Family Thrive in the future. And the Five Protective Factors are really things that do affect how parents parent their children. And we talked about building calm, and so on. So we talk about parental resilience. We talk about building social connections so that you have relationships.
We have 2 minutes before we go out of the show, so I'm going to let you finish.
Quickly. we make sure that parents have the knowledge they need about child development to parent their child.
Yes.
Realistically. We talk about concrete supports in times of need. This goes to my 211 effort. Yes. You know, food, clothing, shelter.
Yes.
And the social emotional competence of children, that's probably the trickiest one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, we recently I used a group of pictures of kids called baby cues, mm-hmm. and asked parents, so what is that baby saying to you? And like 100% of them missed 100% of the pictures.
Wow.
This was a difficult group.
So if you don't recognize it, you can't respond correctly.
Exactly.
But you're teaching them as well, right? So if if you can't recognize how they're doing it, then it's,
So we teach a class on the culture of poverty. We teach classes on developmental assets. What does a kid need? Personally, to be successful, you know, so we have a lot of things in place. All of them you can find through Eventbrite.
Okay. And, so we're going to look for ACEs or adverse childhood experiences spelled out to find this information.
I think if you just type in ACEs, you'll find it.
Okay. Yeah, I think.
And then I'm also going to post that on my Umbrella Marketing's Facebook page under the link. It's going to have ways that you can get connected in the community.
Yes. Beautiful. So it's,
all in one spot. Mm-hmm. And that'll take you to your individual pages to share the information that you're doing.
Great.
Perfect. Fantastic. Well, ladies, I hear our time is up. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for giving us this opportunity. Yeah.
It's just been so much fun. We love to talk about what we love to do.
This is so important for our community and for growth for individuals, but our community as a whole. And so thank you so much for sharing what ACEs is, Adverse Childhood Experiences. And I will have you all on again, definitely. So you have been listening to Heroes of the North State right here on KCNR. I'm Michelle Slade with My Umbrella Marketing, and we will see you again next month.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.